Welcome back to Front Page on the Pulse. Our first non-station aligned guest for this morning, after we called Dennis one of our own. Banking, very interesting time. Banking, low interest rates. People still, the real estate market is extraordinarily buoyant considering the circumstances around. So we're just coming off the back of a disgusting Royal Commission. The banking world, financial world is really, really under some pressure and scrutiny.
And so they should be.
And so they should be. And to help us work through that, mortgage broker Andrew Wheatley is on the line. Good morning, Andrew.
Yeah, good morning, Robert.
Great to have you aboard. It's a very interesting time for banking, and I think people are starting to be a little more aware about their financial partner to guide them through life. You've been in this industry for a fair while. Has the last couple of years been the most unusual and changeable in your time?
Look, in some ways, but really in the bigger picture, you know, like everything changes and everything stays the same in a lot of ways. Like none of the fundamentals change. I think I heard you there referring to the Royal Commission, and I think the best thing about those sorts of really public things is it really puts it in front of people's faces to have to think about the decisions they make and understand who they're partnering with. That was a good term you used before, in particular, partnering with banks, where pretty much anyone who wants to buy a property, unless you're lucky enough to be able to pay cash, at some point you're going to have to partner with a bank. And so it's worthwhile understanding how they work and understanding how they want you to behave, which is basically always going to be in the way that's going to provide the biggest profit to them, because that's their job, versus how you should behave in your own best interest. And I hope when there's a lot of publicity around these things, it makes people really ask themselves a lot of questions about are they acting in their own best interest.
You made a couple of interesting points there, and one of them was the more things change, the more they stay the same. Have you noted, particularly from the big four banks, one of the things that come under scrutiny was their lack of, you know, true customer service. Are you sensing that they're focusing a little bit more on that?
I guess it's a difficult one for me to comment on directly, because I deal more with the back offices of banks. So, you know, I'm not, you know, seeing how much someone's smiling in a branch or being helpful on a phone call when you ring up to check those things out. I think, though, that while all the banks, I'm contacted by banks all the time trying to convince me to send more business their way, right? And they'll always try to make the point that they've got some sort of special service that's different than someone else, or that they do things quicker, or all these sorts of things, which, look, my personal opinion is kind of irrelevant. You know, I think banks are predominantly there to provide a product and a service, and they're either providing it or they're not. You know, I mean, how many of us even really spend much time going into branches anymore, or even telephone banking, which one of my first jobs starting in a bank was when telephone banking came in, and it was the most amazing technology ever. I don't think I've even used telephone banking for years now, let alone gone into a branch. So I think just the way technology's gone, banks have to get better at the bottom line. It's what's the outcome you're going to deliver for a client, you know? Really, a lot of the time that comes down to a financial outcome.
Yeah, now one of the other things that's come out of that too is that the Royal Commission has probably made banks revisit a few of their selling techniques. But ultimately, they are, as you pointed out, in there to make money, make as much as possible, and their focus is on share prices and return to investors, et cetera, et cetera. So if they're giving in one hand, they're more than likely to be looking to take in another hand. That's always a suspicion of the general public. But everyone focuses on home loans. Do you have much to do with the bank's other products behind the scenes that come in and attach to the home loans as well to give that full-rounded service?
Yeah, I'm fortunate enough not to get too caught up into all of the other products. I'm very focused in on the home loans. Look, in my opinion, I mean, yes, you need a home loan if you're going to buy property. Having a bank account is pretty hard to operate in this world without a bank account. But and I think insurance is good. I mean, I'm not an insurance person, so I wouldn't say what's good and bad insurance, but finding the right insurance, I think, is just good grown-up behaviour to do to protect yourself and your family. But after that, I look like credit cards and things like that. I don't they're certainly not necessary, and they probably do more damage than good in the long run.
Yeah, some certainly do. The other thing that's of interest, of course, is incentives to change, and I suppose in your business you'd have as much to do with refinancing as opposed to people coming in to see you for their very first home loan. Have you noticed a change in the incentives that a bank may be offering to woo business from another?
Well, incentives come and go, and look, I'd say as far as like refinancing and the incentives that banks offer is probably my speciality area. It's where I spent most of my time focusing on trying to answer, I guess, the real fundamental question to me, which is how do you own your home in the fastest possible way, which sounds like a simple question, but it's a subtly different way of looking at it, because once you start thinking about what's the fastest way to own your home, you have to look a little bit deeper than just what's the rate, what's the cash back. You have to really understand how banks operate, which leads back directly to what you were saying, if they're giving with one hand and taking it with the other, because this is the real problem or the real question that people, you kind of know, but you just don't say it out loud enough. You have to partner with a bank to buy a property. However, your goal is to own your home as fast as possible, while the bank has the opposite goal. So you're forced to partner with somebody who has the opposite goal of you, which is something you would never do in your normal life, which is why a thing I say a lot is that we need to stop marrying banks and start dating them.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I'm just reading your blurb here,
I do like that, Andrew.
And, you know, one of the big questions that you actually ask is why marry a bank when you can just date it? So can you just explain that just a little bit more? Because I find that a very interesting concept.
Sure. Look, so I would say that banks will really put you into three groups, okay? You're either going to fall into the group of being a new client, which is what banks desperately need, because like Robert said earlier, these are corporations, they have shareholders to pay dividends to and CEOs trying to get their bonuses. They have to get constant growth, so they need new clients coming in all the time. And banks aren't very subtle. Like they, you know, when they need new business, they just pull the lever and just throw money at people. So they'll put out big cashbacks and they'll offer really cheap rates to get you in the door to meet their growth targets. Now, but once you're in, then their job is to make as much money out of you as possible. And the problem with that you have as a consumer is you can't really control what happens after you go in. So inevitably, banks will start putting your rate up, and you then have two choices. You can either occasionally ring up and complain, and their job then is to just try to drop your rate just enough to make you happy and go away. But they're not going to offer you the same rate that they're giving new clients. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who would be nodding their head right now going, yeah, I rung up my bank to say, hey, my friend just got this rate from you and he's got the same loan as me, and they say, oh no, that's just for new clients. Like, it's a real thing.
I'm nodding my head as you speak, Andrew. Yes. It's happened to me, yeah.
So if we take it as a given, banks have these, you know, different structures of existing clients being treated differently from new clients, then one of the goals is to be a new client. And then if being a new client is the right place to be, then you want to continue to be a new client. Okay? Now, and I think most people kind of know this, that look, being nimble and moving and taking it, like if banks are going to throw money at you to get you in the door, it's because they'll take a bit of a hit up front because they know they're going to make a fortune off you later on, because most people move and then just stay. But what I would say is move and then have a system set up so that you keep moving. Now, on average, I would say the best, like the good rhythm to get into, and there's three steps that I tell people that they need to get a handle on here. And the first one I can run through in a second, but I guess what that's really aimed at though is, well, we all kind of know we should be moving more often. We don't do it. And so a real question asked is like, what is it that stops us doing it? And what I found from talking to a lot of people and being in the industry in a time is even, and again, we'll check if you're nodding your head again here, even me just saying something like you should be looking to move banks every 12 months will make a lot of people feel a bit sick in their stomach.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And there's a really good reason for that, because most of the time when we're applying for a mortgage, it's when we need the money. We're buying a house and there's a settlement date, there's a deadline, and then some paperwork goes missing and it gets stressful and something gets stuffed up, or you're doing a renovation, there's a builder waiting to get paid and you're chasing to get the money on time. So you have these really stressful, painful experiences, and it's just human nature. When you've touched the fire and been burnt once, you know, you don't want to do it again. So why would you repeat the process? So what I say to people is the first thing you want to get your head around here is establishing a regular rhythm. The best time to apply to a bank is when you don't need the money. Okay? So if you've just got the intention that, look, every 12 months I'm going to review this, and if it makes sense for me to leave, then I'm prepared to do it. And if the next bank takes 3 days or 3 weeks to apply it, I don't care. I don't need the money. I'm just doing it as good financial hygiene. It's like going to the dentist once a year, getting your car service once a year, and I'm not scared to remortgage if I need to, because it's not going to be stressful like the last time. Does that make sense?
It does indeed. And again, I suppose good banks and recently involved in one where what you're talking about, that 12-month analysis, is actually instigated by the bank rather than by the customer. And I think that's probably that where that good customer service comes in to say, well, look, how are you situated? What can we do to help? Is everything okay? Those simple questions probably put people at ease very quickly, generally speaking, but there is still an element of people who will investigate. Now, on that, Andrew, what intrigues me in this day and age where there's more and more information available to the general public, I sense in a lot of cases the general public are less informed than they have been in the past. Would you say that when you get particularly first home buyers that come in and sit down in front of you for the first time, are you sensing they're better prepared for the conversation than they have been, say, 3 to 5 years ago?
And I wouldn't say that. And I certainly wouldn't criticise anybody for it. Look, we can't know everything about everything. That's why you're generally going to find someone that you...
Well, that's why you're in business, correct?
Yeah.
That's a service.
That's why I'm in business. And look, and some people like to get that from the person down at the local branch. Some people like a mortgage broker. And other people like to get online and do all the research themselves and sort it all out. So, look, it varies on personality types. You know, for example, if someone is having the first conversation with me and they say they're an engineer, straight away I know they're probably going to have 20 spreadsheets and they spend hours going through them. Each to their own.
It's an interesting concept, and I guess the message out of today is for everybody to keep researching, asking questions, putting demands on your financial partner, but most importantly, don't take them as life partners. Take them as short-term friends until such time as they prove themselves.
It sounds like serial.
So it's the dating game.
It's serial monogamy.
It is.
Huh?
Serial monogamy in banking.
In the banking world. Yeah.
No, it's good. Look, there's never been a better time to borrow. What is the serious lowest home loan rate that you know of at the moment, Andrew?
It does depend on different circumstances. I think, look, if you're getting a variable rate in the low 2.6s, you're doing well. If you're getting charged even in the sort of low 2.7s, you're probably doing okay too. Again, depends on circumstances.
But the number should have a 2 in front of it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If it doesn't have a 2 in the front of it, there should be some really good reason, like maybe you're a higher risk or something like that.
Or you're in a community bank and you're happy to pay the extra because you know the money's going back to the community.
Personal, and that's a totally valid choice to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If you're making a conscious choice about who you're doing business with and where your money's going.
What I've found, Andrew, I've had finance through one of the big four, and I've also had finance through a credit union, and I found the service through the credit union was just beautiful, and they would actually sort of do that sort of check once every 12 months to see how I was travelling. But with one of the big fours, no way. I was just nothing. I was just krill out there in the big sea.
Yeah. I guess the point I'd make on that, and I think you're right about the service, it generally is better. Like, we all like our local organisations, and it's just closer and friendlier. But as far as the reviews of rates, so like, I don't like the idea of, like, any bank ringing up, like, having to ring you up and say, hey, are we charging you too much? Like, on one hand, I can see why you go, oh, that's nice, they were checking in. But I'm probably more at the point of, like, why are you even asking me? Just give me your best rate. Mm. The fact that you even have to have a conversation about it shows that they knew the rate was too high. Otherwise, why are they even calling you?
Yeah, it's a very good point. Andrew, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. It's wise words for people to latch onto and go out and instigate those conversations with your provider and try as best you can in a finance-dominated world to be in control of your own destiny rather than it being controlled. I think that's a very important lesson.
Yeah, absolutely should. It's been a pleasure having a chat to you guys.
Good on you, mate. All the very best.
Thank you, Andrew.
Andrew Wheatley, mortgage broker, enlightening us a little about the world of finance, because it's an interesting time, and it's just incredible to think that you can get a home loan at 2.6%, because I can remember many paying 16, 17s, even
was in the,
plus 20s.
That was in the early 80s.
Late 80s, early 90s, when Pyramid went crashing.
Oh, yes, you're correct.